1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. Again, thank you for being here. There's a lot of places you could be this morning, but you chose to be in the house of God. And I tell you, I believe the judgment seat of Christ will reveal that that's a good place to be on Sunday. Amen. It's in the house of God. The Bible said in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica about their loved ones. He tells them he didn't tell them not to sorrow. He said, just don't sorrow like others sorrow. In other words, if you've lost your loved one to death, and I know that many of you in this room have, if not all of us, have lost a precious loved one. And when that loved one dies in the Lord, they go to be with the Lord. And the Bible teaches that Jesus is going to come back, and they're going to be raised, and we're going to have a new body, and they're going to have a new body, and we're going to be with the Lord. So he said, don't sorrow like others which have no hope. But now watch this. He said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. You can be seated this morning. Please pray with us as we try our best to conclude this message today. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the choir, the special singing. Lord, I'm glad, as our sister sang, I've been to Calvary. Lord, I may not get to go to a lot of places in this world, but I'm glad, Lord, I've been to Calvary. I pray, dear Father, that you would just bless the message today. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us this morning. And God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I was thinking this morning as Brother Kaysen was talking to us in Sunday school. He was talking about the man that went to Ecuador. And I forgot his name, Brother Kaysen. Jim Elliott, that's right. Went to Ecuador and they killed him. And the first thought that came to my mind, brother, was the Apostle Paul. There was a time when the Apostle Paul was on the wrong side of the fence too. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something. You make one trip to Calvary, he'll put you on the right side of the fence. Amen? He'll put you in the family of God. He'll put you doing the right thing. Amen? So I'm glad somebody had that burden. And I'm glad Brother Case and his wife Bethany have that burden to go there and speak to those people. All right. We've been preaching on this, please don't miss the exit. It came just as I was watching a preacher preach and the exit sign was over his head behind him and God began to stir in my heart. And when God does that, I probably wasn't hearing too much about what he had to say. But anyway, the Lord was stirring in my heart about the exit. We talked about exit one. We talked about that's where you're in the Broadway. Thank God, God made an exit at Calvary. It goes right with the song this morning, where you could get off the Broadway and get in the narrow way. Amen. I'm glad I exited one day. I saved by the grace of God and exited off of the Broadway. We talked about there's many reasons that people miss the exit. Sometimes they wait too long to get in the right lane. Traffic's too heavy and people are not courteous, distracted. Sometimes they're distracted by good things and they miss the exit. Sometimes they're distracted by evil things and they miss the exit. Sometimes they're not sure which way to take, which exit to take. Sometimes they're asleep or tired or daydreaming. Sometimes they're listening to someone that's supposed to know but really doesn't know. There's a lot of people in the world that's supposed to know the way to heaven. Amen. They stand in pulpits like this and yet they're telling people another way. They're preaching another gospel. They're preaching another Jesus. And the Word of God tells us, beloved, that it will be revealed in that day. Amen. And we know that sometimes the exit's not real visible. Sometimes there's a fog that hides the sign. Sometimes the exit's blocked. I thought about one other thing, too. You can be going too fast and miss the exit. Can I tell you something about life? There's a lot of people going too fast. And they don't realize, beloved, listen, that these three exits that I'm preaching about are important. The first one we call the exit. Exit one is a way to evade the damnation of hell. I'm glad, thank the Lord, I'm not going to hell. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. Exit two was a way to escape the temptation to sin. God said he'd make you a way. You get in the narrow way, and the first thing the old devil's going to do, the old flesh is going to do, this old world's going to do, is try to get you tripped up, because none of those like it that you're in the narrow way now. But God said, I'm going to make you an exit. I'm going to make you a way to escape. Somebody said, well, the devil made me do it. That's a lie. Amen. The devil tried to make Jesus do it, but Jesus just kept on saying, it is written. It is written. It is written. Beloved, listen, it's not a sin to be tempted, but it is a sin when we give in to that temptation. Amen. And so exit two was a way to escape the temptation to sin. Now I want to get into exit three this morning and conclude this message. And that's a way to enjoy the realization of heaven. A way to enjoy the realization of heaven. Right now I'm on a road. It's the narrow road, and I'm on the road of life. But can I tell you that one day soon, I believe with all of my heart, there's going to be a mass exodus of people from this planet we call Earth. You say, people, preacher, what's going to happen? I read to you a while ago. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to exit right out of this world, beloved. Listen, there's an exit from the Earth into that presence of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that exit. We're going there. Think about this, beloved. Jesus will come. What did the Bible say? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, here's what he said. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen to me this morning. Please hear me well right here. When we lose the thrill of being saved by the grace of God at Calvary, and we lose the thrill of getting out of this world and getting into the presence of God because of Calvary, then, beloved, we have lost the thrill of being a Christian. Amen? This world is not our home. We're just pilgrims. We're just strangers. We're just passing through here. And thank God Jesus is coming. And I don't want anybody to miss the exit. When Jesus comes, you too can exit out of this world and go and be with the Lord. You say, preacher, what's so good about this exit? The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that he delivered us. That's past tense. That he doth deliver. That's present tense. And really, it fits right with the outline. Exit 1, he delivered us. Exit 2, he doth deliver us. And then exit 3, and we trust that he will yet deliver us. Amen. Our deliverance is not complete. In the mind and in the heart of God, it is complete. But Romans chapter 8 said that the whole creation groans and travails to be delivered from this curse that we live under, this curse of sin, amen, and this sin-cursed world. I don't know about you, but the older I get a longing in my heart to go and be where the Lord is, amen, and where my precious loved ones are. There's going to be a mass exodus. Will you be part of that? Will you be part of that church of the living God that's going to exit this old world and go into the presence of God? Let me give you some things this morning the Lord put on my heart. Number one, when you get off at that exit, you're going down the road of life. And now there's that mass exodus. All of God's people are going to exit
at the same time. Oh, you say, preacher, well, we've lost this loved one and we've lost this loved one. I understand that. And they went into the presence of God. Amen. And listen, we don't believe in soul sleep. We believe the body sleeps. Amen. And Jesus said, them that sleep in Jesus, he's going to come back. He's going to wake them up. They're going to get up, get even with us. We're all going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we're going to go to be with the Lord. But I thought about something, just five things quickly, that when this exodus or this exit, when you get off of that exit, that's going to take place. Number one, it's going to be an exit from all sinners. In other words, beloved, listen to me. Listen, this has been on my heart this week. That young lady, I don't know that young lady, Molly Tibbetts, that went for a jog. I thought about my brother Brian, how he used to just love to run and take a spell through the neighborhood and go out. But listen, somebody that had a wicked heart, an evil heart, took that youngin's life. But I'm so glad, thank God, when I get off at that exit, I'm not going to have to worry about somebody trying to harm me or harm one of my babies or harm my wife or harm God's people. Because, beloved, listen, only the saved can get off at that exit. Only the righteous, the sinners, cannot get off at that exit. Amen. And the reason is because they passed up exit one. They didn't get off at Calvary. And beloved, listen, I'm glad that when you get off at that exit, there's an exit that's free from all sinners. There's no one going to be drunk. Hallelujah! Nobody's going to be rolling their sleeves up and sticking a needle in their arm. Amen. Nobody's going to be using our precious Heavenly Father's name in vain. Nobody's going to be telling a filthy joke. Nobody's going to be looking at dirty pictures. I'm just telling you, beloved, I'm excited about going to heaven because at that exit, there's no sinners to be found. Only the saints of God. Now listen to me. Not only no sinners to be found, but there's no sin to be found. Watch what the Word of God said over here in the book of Revelation with me just for a moment. It's an exit from all the sinners, but it's an exit. Listen, it's going to get better. You just hang on just a minute. It's an exit not only from all the sinners, but it's an exit from all sin. The Word of God said in Revelation chapter 21, and the city had no need of the sun. This is verse 23. Neither of the moon to shine in it, and the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Now watch this. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the book of life. Now you say, preacher, you already talked about the sinners. Now why are you excited? Because when you get off that exit, there's no sin. Because let me tell you something, beloved, the saints of God still have a problem with sin. Would somebody help me? Amen. Oh, I thank God when I get off at that exit, there'll never be another temptation. I thank God when I get off at that exit, my mind will always be just right. It'll never think anything it shouldn't think. These hands will never do anything they shouldn't do. These feet will never take me anywhere they shouldn't go. I'm just telling you, I'm thankful this morning, beloved. Listen, that the people of God are fixing to get off this road called life, and we're going to take an exit into that place called heaven, and our Lord will be there. And thank God, what will be there is exciting. What won't be there is exciting. There'll be no sin in that place called heaven. I want you to think about this. It's going to be an exit from all sorrow. Look at verse number 13. But I would not, I'm in Thessalonians 4. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Let me ask you something. How many of you all have ever experienced something that broke your heart? Aren't you glad we have a Savior that specializes in broken hearts? But aren't you glad, Brother Bloom, that we're going to get off one day this road called life? We're going to take that exit into the presence of God. I'll get into that in a minute. And our hearts will never break again. Our hearts will never ache again. Our phone will never ring with bad news again. Amen. We'll never get a letter in the mail again. We'll never visit the doctor and hear those words again. Amen. Listen, I just thank God that God's people, beloved, listen, exit one is Calvary. We escape the damnation of sin. Exit two, we're able to escape the temptation to sin. But thank God in exit three, beloved, we're going to go right into the presence of God and be with Him. It's an exit from all sinners, an exit from all sin. It's an exit from all sorrow. Nothing will ever break our hearts again. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm a little bit excited about that. And then number four, it's an exit to meet the Savior. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you looking forward to meeting Him? Is there anybody in this building besides me that just feels inadequate when you bow and you thank Him for saving you? You thank Him for giving you something to eat. You thank Him for giving you a roof over your head. You thank Him, beloved, for giving you clothes on your back. You thank Him for a church to go to where the love of God is felt, the Spirit. I thank Him for a choir. Thank Him for a Sunday school. Thank Him for the children's church. But let me tell you something right now. I believe there's a day coming, Brother Bloom. Listen, I'll have me a glorified body. I don't believe I'll feel inadequate that day. I believe when John fell at His feet in Revelation chapter number 1, beloved, he fell there as dead because it was just so wonderful to be in His presence. Amen. But John wasn't in his glorified body yet. Amen. You and I are going to have a glorified body, be able to fall in His presence and thank Him the way He ought to be thanked. I'll tell you what an exit that is to think about leaving out of this world. You know, Sister Sherry's aunt was 58 years old. A lot of people think that's old. Well, if you're 58, you don't think that's old. Somebody help me, amen? If you're older than 58, you don't think that's old. I'd say if you're 57, you don't think that's old. We're going to leave here. You know, one by one we leave out. But I'm telling you, there's a day coming when there's a big load. There's going to be an exodus. All of us are going to meet the Lord together in the air. And the Bible said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't know about you this morning, but that thrills my heart to think about getting out, beloved, listen, and getting to where He is. It's an exit to meet the Savior. The Bible tells us, beloved, over there, Jesus said, I will come again. The songwriter said, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I like those words, my Jesus I shall see. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm telling you, it's personal. That's why we talk about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, at that last exit, we're going to get off. There's going to be Jesus. You know, if everything else, I mean, if you had streets of gold and you didn't have Jesus, it wouldn't be heaven. If you had a gate of pearl and you didn't have Jesus, it wouldn't be heaven. Amen. If you had Moses and David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and you had all the people of the Old Testament, all the people of the New, and you didn't have Jesus, it wouldn't be heaven. I'm going to tell you something right now. Let me just say this. If you don't enjoy Him while you're here, what in the world would make you think you would enjoy Him over there? Oh, I'm telling you, beloved, listen, He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Not only is it an exit where we meet the Savior, I used to think about, when I thought about exiting out of this world, I used to think about Mom and Dad. And they traveled from Maryland, I've told you this, up above Baltimore, down to, I believe you spent some time, you and Miss Kim, didn't you, Brother Brian, in Baltimore at John Hopkins or something up there? Amen. And Mom and Dad used to travel, and I used to wonder, Daddy would work all week, and then they'd give him a week's vacation, It was always the week of July 4th at that plant where Daddy worked. But Daddy would work all week and get off on Friday and come in and take him a shower. And he'd load all of us six youngins up. I used to think, why in the world would you want to drive down Interstate 81 at night in a 1965 hearse? It was a black station wagon. It looked just like a hearse. One day we were making the trip home, and we were going home in the daytime. And I said, Daddy, I said, this is cool. He said, what, son? I said, you can see the lines back here. The floorboard had rusted out in the back of it. You can see the lines on the road going up the... You say, preacher, you come up poor. Well, we'll talk about that later. Amen. Daddy just got him an old road sign. You can tell Randy for me and put it in there and pop rivet it in the bottom. Put a bottom. He's afraid one of the young'uns going to fall out. Amen. But listen to me. I figured out why Daddy always did that now. Because he got tired of hearing this, Brother Gale. Are we there yet? When you got six young'uns and three or four of them is constantly, are we there yet? You know what I believe God's people need to start asking? Are we there yet? In other words, there was an anticipation. You say, preacher, why would you young'uns have such an anticipation? You've never sat down at my granny's breakfast table. I'm telling you, when you got off the exit at Glade Spring, I believe you could smell it. And it was all the way down in Lodi. Amen. I'm talking about country sausage. I'm talking about country bacon. Amen. You know where that comes from, don't you? The same hog the city slickers eat it off of. Amen. But it's different when it's cooked on a wood stove. Somebody help me. And the gravy. Amen. My goodness. And the eggs. In other words, if I look that forward to going to my grandmother's house, how much more forward should I be looking to going to my Father's house? Beloved, I believe with all of my heart, God's people are fixing to exit out of here. And my statement today and the message is this, please, don't miss the exit. You know what's going to happen? The church is going to go away. And some forked tongue politician or king or queen or something in this world will explain it away. And they'll say, we like your explanation so good. Say amen. Their word must exalt you. The Antichrist is coming on the scene. And for 3.5 years, the world is going to swallow the lie, hook, line, and sinker. I'm glad I won't be here. I'm glad I'll be with the truth, not here listening to a lie. Amen. I'll be with the Lord. And I say, please don't miss it. Because what's going to happen? God's people are going home, and on the road of life, there's going to be an exodus for God's people, but things are going to go right on for the people on the earth. Then the day comes, beloved, in the middle of the tribulation. It's spoken of as the abomination of desolation by Daniel the prophet, and the Jews are going to realize they've been deceived. Let me tell you something about old planet earth then. All hell's going to break loose. I'm telling you, beloved, the Bible said one third of the water supply is going to turn to blood. One third of the earth is going to be on fire. You think it's bad when you get a fire in California. Could you imagine one third of the United States being on fire? I'm telling you, say, preacher, you don't believe that stuff, do you? 100-pound hailstones. Oh, hail as big as a softball or a baseball. I don't want to be anywhere near it. I've not seen that myself, but I know others have seen hail that look like a baseball. I've seen it look like a golf ball. I don't even want to be under that when it's hailing. But 100-pound people running to the rocks, running to the mountains. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. People want to die and cannot die. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, beloved, you miss this exit and you'll be left in this world for the judgment that's coming upon this world. And it's a terrible thought. I don't know how the Lord's going to do it. I know this. At the great white throne judgment, I don't think it's any accident. It's in the Bible this way. But you have the judgment of the lost. And I don't believe heaven could be heaven with the memory of that. But the Bible said God will wipe all tears away from our eyes. And I believe, beloved, listen, it's either one of two things. Either we have the capacity then just to forget about it. Now listen to me. Listen to me. This is just my theology right here. Or we realize, Brother Lance, how righteous that God is in his judgment, and it doesn't bother us because they had the same opportunity to get off at exit one just like we did. They looked at Calvary and said, forget it. I'm going on down the Broadway. I'm not going to get off at Calvary. I'm not concerned about eternity. But listen to me this morning. Jesus is telling us that at this exit, we're going to meet him. Let me give you this, and I'm excited about this, and I'm done. Not only is it an exit to meet the Savior, but it's an exit where we'll be like the Savior. As soon as I get off on that exit, I'm going to be like Jesus. The Bible said, I'll be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. What did the Bible say over there? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth it not, because the world knew him not. And it said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, when we get off at that exit, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. What's that mean, preacher? We'll have a body like his. I read over there in the book of Philippians this morning, I get excited about it. It said, who shall change our vile body and give us a body like unto his glorious body? I'm telling you, listen, I'm not trying to make fun, not at all. But I tell you what, old Brother Fred, he'd get up here and I'd watch him just carry that hip. You know what I'm talking about. And it would bless my heart, but he'll never carry that hip like that again. I watched Brother Bob go to the choir. Brother Bob's stooped over in his back. I'm not making fun at all. But I tell you, I thank my God that we're going to have a new body. One that won't be broken up anymore. One that won't suffer from arthritis. One that won't need a wheelchair. One where we'll have all of our limbs. One where we'll be like Jesus. One where we'll never miss it again. I'm just telling you, thank God Almighty, this is exciting to me, that there's a road called life, but there's an exit coming for the children of God when we can be in his presence and we'll be just like Jesus. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. I don't know. I think I read 11 or 12 chapters in the book of Matthew yesterday. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. I read enough to know I'd like to be like that. I'd like to just have so much love in my heart. And, you know, if thou wilt, Lord, you can make me clean. Be thou clean. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about one that went about doing good. I'm talking about one, Brother Kaysen, that the Word of God said, I do always those things which please the Father. Honey, there ain't nobody in this building can say that. Would somebody help me? But I tell you, after we get off that exit, oh, hallelujah, amen, we'll do always those things which please the Father. We'll be like Jesus. Ain't that a blessing? That's a blessing to me. You say, preacher, why do you believe that we'll be like him? Well, because the Bible said we'll be like him. The Bible said when he comes, we'll see him as he is. I say to you, beloved, listen, he delivered us. That's exit one at Calvary. He doth deliver. That's exit two. Every time that we're faced with a battle, a temptation, our Lord said he would make us a way of escape that we'd be able to bear it. But at exit three, finally, we get home. Amen. We exit out of this world. I believe Abraham knew this world wasn't his home. That's why he dwelled in tents. I believe Abraham knew this world wasn't his home. That's why he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm a country boy. Most of you that know me, you know that. You know, I'm. If you like the city, I'm glad for you. Actually, I'm sad for you, but anyway, I'm a country boy. I like the country. And one day I figured something out. You know, I actually thought about, you know,
the new Jerusalem. It comes down from God out of heaven, but there's going to be a new heaven, and there's going to be a new earth. And then God said, Brother Gale, the gates of that city is not going to be shut at all by day or by night. There's no night there, and we can go in and out. So God even fixed it where a country boy could be happy in heaven. Amen. I don't have to stay in the city. I can go, and I can go to country a while. Go back to country a while. I ain't never seen nobody. Everybody talks about sitting by the river. Man, I ain't never seen nobody in a city sitting by a river. Say amen. And I tell you what, I love the country, but I love the Lord. And with all my heart, I don't want you to miss the exit. Don't miss exit one. God's people, don't miss exit two. Your family's at stake. Your testimony's at stake. Whole lot's at stake. And then, listen, don't miss exit three. Be living for that. Be looking for that. Be hoping for that. The Bible talked about the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. People that don't believe in the Trinity, I don't know what they do with a scripture like that. Don't believe in deity. I don't know what they do with scripture like that. But that's up to them. We know that there's one Lord and one faith and one baptism. And I thank the Lord. God made us a way that we could go and be with Him. Someone said it one time, and it almost sounds like a play on words. You have to think about it, or I do sometimes. But the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. That's a blessing to me, to know that I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You know today what's sad? Listen to me carefully. I guarantee you that somewhere in America this morning, there's somebody more excited about their earthly inheritance than many of God's people are about their heavenly inheritance. Amen. Amen. God help us. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege, Lord, to come in your presence once again. I pray, dear Lord, that as we get ready to sing a song of invitation, Lord, there's somebody here that, Lord, if they leave this world today, they're going to miss the exit. Lord, you're not coming back for a people that's unprepared. You're coming back for a people that's prepared. It's my prayer, dear God, that no one, Lord, would miss these three exits, that you'd help us, our Father, today. Lord, it ain't going to be long. You're going to change our vile body. Lord, the Apostle Paul said that to the church at Philippi. Lord, I believe there was an excitement in the air. May there be an excitement, Lord, in our hearts today. May we be doing our best, Lord, to get someone by the hand. Lord, as Brother Bloom and his precious wife go down to Ecuador, Lord, and proclaim, you don't have to stay in the broad way. There's many in that way, but there's a narrow way over here that leads to life. And Lord, there's a few finding that way. Lord, I want to bless your name for the few. I think about what Brother Don said, Lord, when he was here at meeting. He said, if Jesus doesn't come soon, the day may come soon when you'd be doing well to get 50 people together around the truth of God's word. Oh, God, strengthen us. Lord, I pray, strengthen these truths. Help us, our Lord. Help us, we pray.